Good morning. Our sermon text this morning is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, and I'll be reading the entire chapter. Ezekiel 34, beginning in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. I will make with them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land, so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will send down the showers in their season. They shall be showers of blessing. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase. They shall be secure in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslaved them. They shall no more be a prey to the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them. They shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will provide for them renowned plantations, so that they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, and no longer suffer the reproach of the nations. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. It's good to see you all, and I mean that too. Well, although I am going to have to do some editing on the fly because I didn't think Matt was going to be here, so So the metaphors of sheep and shepherds are spread liberally throughout Scripture, roughly 500 times, actually. It starts early with Abel being a keeper of the flocks, and then Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, all were shepherds at some point in their lives. The shepherds of Bethlehem were the first to hear the announcement of Jesus' birth from the angels. So today we'll look at why this motif is so prevalent. We'll begin by considering the sheep. That's you and me. You probably all heard that sheep are dumb. I don't like looking at them like that. I mean, especially being a sheep. Though admittedly, a case can be made. For instance, in 2005, in the Van province in Turkey, a group of shepherds left a flock of 1,500 sheep. It was actually 26 flocks all gathered together, 1,500 sheep. They left them while they went to eat breakfast. While they ate, one of the sheep jumped off a 50-foot cliff. And then another followed. Then another followed until there was a heap of 450 dead sheep at the bottom of that ravine. More incredibly, at the bottom of that ravine were over 1,000 live sheep who had been, you know, they were the lucky ones that were saved by landing on a pile of the unlucky ones. I suppose that's a true story. I suppose that could be called dumb, but I rather look at it as it's just sheep behaving like sheep. See, God designed sheep to act a certain way. He's designed every creature to act a certain way according to its kind. So to make the case about sheep, then, we'll need to look at what Scripture says about them. I've put these attributes under three headings that all start with D in traditional Baptist alliterative form, and because of peer pressure. Number one, sheep are directionless. Sheep are directionless. Isaiah 53:6 tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Similarly, we see in Ezekiel 34 that the worthless shepherds of Israel did not bring back the strays or seek the lost. The sheep were scattered, wandering over all the mountains and on every high hill. Now, it's a fact that when a sheep strays, whether it's because of rebellion or seeking greener pastures, and it realizes that it's been separated from the flock, it doesn't find its own way back. It freezes and starts bleating, hoping to alert the flock or shepherd. Although there's, of course, an ever-present danger that all that noise will alert nearby predators. They have a notably bad sense of direction. Number two, sheep are defenseless. Matthew 9:36 says, speaking of Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Our opening passage from Ezekiel, verse 5, tells us, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. In John 10:12, Jesus says, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. When sheep are first alerted to danger, I'm told, they gather together, slowly moving in a circle. But when the predator attacks, they scatter. And the moving targets trigger the hunting drive in the wolves. So that results in an even higher body count as they kill for sport, not just a meal. Isaiah 53:7, in a prophecy pointing us to Jesus, says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. That passage shows us another key characteristic of sheep. Built into them is what's known as a freeze response, where the animal shuts down in stressful situations instead of fighting or running away. It's not fight or flight, it's fight, flight, or freeze. And they freeze, even though their heart rate is extremely high. Number three, sheep are dependent. Sheep are dependent. Zechariah 10:2 says, therefore the people wander like sheep. They are afflicted for lack of a shepherd. Again, some excerpts found in verses 11 to 16 of Ezekiel 34. For thus says the Lord God, I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered. I will feed them with good pasture. I myself will make them lie down. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. And ranking high on the Bible hit parade, and we just sung it this morning from Psalm 23, verses 1 through 4. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We're very familiar with that psalm. So familiar that we can overlook some important points. One of them is in verse 2. It says, he makes me lie down in green pasture. He makes me. Making one do something indicates that they need to be told, need to be trained to do the thing. Like parents, you make your children eat their vegetables. You make them wash their hands after using the bathroom. You make them look both ways before crossing the street. You make them come to church with you. Kids don't have a natural inclination to do these things. They're kids having a great time being impulsive and unfocused. They are dependent on their parents to instruct them for their own good. So it is with us. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me in paths. Again, the sheep are dependent on their shepherd to lead them, to show them the best ways to go for their benefit. Sometimes that leading is to calm and serene places, but other times it's through dark paths. And sheep do not like dark areas. I'm told that if you want to get them in the barn, you better turn the light on in the barn, because they won't naturally just go to a dark place. But led by a caring shepherd, they'll follow, albeit reluctantly, trusting their caretaker to protect them, to lead them through, not leave them there. And that leads us to look at this good shepherd. I couldn't come up with enough good D words, so we'll have five S's instead. I think it still counts. The good shepherd speaks to his sheep. Speaks. In John 10, Jesus tells us the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That is just a favorite passage of mine. It really hit me last July, Dave preached a sermon on that text, on John 10. And that part just really stuck with me, and it changed me. It changed the way that I look at evangelism. Right? It took all the pressure off of evangelism. You know how you get nervous and anxious when you're going to share the gospel with someone, and sometimes you don't do it because you're so nervous and anxious? Right there, the sheep know his voice. You share the gospel, and if they're one of his sheep, they're going to hear his voice. They might not respond right at that time, but it's going to tickle them. They're going to recognize his voice, Jesus' voice. And all of his sheep, he's going to bring with him. They won't be left behind. So it takes really all the pressure off of you sharing the gospel, right? The sheep hear his voice. They know his voice. When he calls, they'll come. The good shepherd seeks. That's our second S. Good shepherd seeks the lost and scattered. From Ezekiel 34, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they've been scattered. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. The good shepherd supplies. It's our third S. The good shepherd supplies all that his sheep need. From Ezekiel 34:14, I will feed them with good pasture. In John 10:10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. In Psalm 23 again, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He supplies everything that you need. Everything that I need. Everything that his sheep need, Jesus supplies. The good shepherd strengthens the weak and cares for the hurting. In Ezekiel, I will bind up the injured and I will strengthen the weak. In Isaiah 61, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. In Isaiah 42, a bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. Number five, the Good Shepherd, and this one has a bonus S. The Good Shepherd sacrifices himself to save his sheep. That's the bonus S. 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us." 1 Peter 2:24, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." In John 10, the Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." Now, going through that list of six S's took us only about 5, 6, 7 minutes. But the implications of what it means will be worked out for all eternity. You're here today worshiping this Good Shepherd because at some point in your life, you heard his voice when he called you by name. You, not corporately, but individually, personally. It wasn't an audible voice that you heard. It was something much deeper and purer, and you couldn't ignore it. Whether you were in pre-K or VBS or on Medicare, that's what happened. The one who holds all things together led you into his fold. He sought you and he found you in whatever corner you were trying to hide. And before Christ called your name, you were in hiding, no matter your age or social status. You were a sheep, and you were doing sheep things without a shepherd. Everyone here that is a sheep, that is in God's fold, has a unique story. A unique story, absolutely personal to you, on how you were called, on how you were led, on how you were brought into this fold, on how you answered. That's amazing, right? Right? It's not a categorical thing. It's not a, you might have been at a Billy Graham crusade amongst thousands and tens of thousands of people, but it was your voice, or it was his voice that you heard calling you specifically. That's just a beautiful thing. Just to know that the creator of all that is, that the God of all the universe and every universe knows you and loves you and cares for you and calls you. That's beyond spectacular. Now you enjoy all that the Good Shepherd supplies. He's given you life and godliness, joy, even in the midst of trials and tribulations. He's given you forgiveness and freedom from guilt and shame. He's given you eternal life. He's given you his word. He's even given you the Holy Spirit to reside in you as a guarantee of his eternal promises. For one of his sheep that is grazing on the finest sweet clover and choicest dandelions. Last week, Pastor Dave gave us a fine sermon on Peter's restoration from John chapter 21. In that, Peter was given the command to feed my sheep twice and to tend my sheep. In 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, Peter passes on those instructions to his fellow elders, under-shepherds. Peter says, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker of the in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." So this is not news to you, but in this particular assembly, you currently have three elders under shepherds, Pastor Dave Theobald, Matt Gibson, and myself. And we consider it a great privilege and a weighty responsibility to shepherd you, the flock of God that is among us. Pastor Dave said that in his sermon last week, and it's 100% true. At times, I've been self-deprecating, calling myself the Ollie's Outlet of elders or some such frivolous wordplay for a laugh. I like to make people laugh, and humor has its place, but that really shouldn't be one of them. It dampens the importance of a position that Jesus himself has made essential for the proper God-exalting functioning of his bride, the church. And it might also infer that there is a hierarchy or a seniority among the elders, which biblically there isn't. You see that in the passage from 1 Peter. We each bring different God-given gifts, abilities, personalities, and experiences with us to shepherd the flock. But each hold the same authority. It's really interesting to see how God orchestrates the oversight of his church, how he puts people together to lead his church. So I couldn't come up with an alliteration for the under-shepherd's responsibilities to the flock, which are to feed, protect, guide, and correct. At least it rhymes. A good place to look at how your elders should be caring for you is found by looking at our text in Ezekiel 34. The prophet, speaking words given him by the Lord God, absolutely berates the bad shepherds of Israel and even some of the sheep. In hearing what they have not done, we have our instructions on what our commission is to be. Number one, to feed. Do you know what the most common reason that people give when they leave a church? Well, we're just not getting fed. I mean, yes, that can be an excuse to sleep in on Sundays. But taking it at face value, it sounds like the first volley that God made to the bad leaders. Ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? In Matthew 4:4, Jesus told the devil, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." To have a healthy flock, we need to make sure you're well fed from God's word. The most obvious way that that happens is in these weekly gatherings here on Sundays. Week in and week out, Pastor Dave brings us sermons, expertly prepared, going through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And he puts a lot of work into preparing these sermons. He makes sure that what we're hearing is not his opinion, but God's word explained as clearly as he can. when he uses analogies or personal anecdotes, they're to give us a touchstone connecting our lives with Scripture. Although sometimes I think he gets enjoyment about making us groan a little. When we do need to fill the pulpit with someone, we make sure that you'll be hearing from men whose heart and doctrine align with what you're used to. Another way you're fed is through Sunday schools. And we have Sunday school classes for all ages. Kim Wilson is the superintendent for the children's Sunday school. She keeps us in the loop with what's going on, what's being taught, who's teaching it. And Dave, Matt, and I determine what's going to be taught to the adults. Those are not snap decisions. We have a lot of discussion about what would be most beneficial for you. We try to mix up your diet so you're not eating the same food all the time. We might offer something that doesn't hit your palate every time, but you can be sure it's still spiritually nutritious. Then between the Sunday offerings, we have midweek services, small groups. So we really, our aim is to make sure that you don't go away from Grace Baptist spiritually hungry. There's also ways that we do that. That's on the macro level, right? But on the micro level, we talk to you. We converse with you. We bring Scripture into conversations. We try to make sure that you're fed that way as well. Protect and guide, those two actually go together, really. From Ezekiel, the weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. Our resident shepherd, Rob Wilson, told me some interesting facts about sheep, and what he said gave good insight into why God chose them as the universal metaphor for his people. One of those was that sheep are good at hiding their problems. A sick sheep can literally be near death, and the casual observer wouldn't know. But the shepherd knows his sheep, not just as a flock, but everyone individually. If you or I go and look at a flock of sheep, what we see is like 30 identical animals. But what the shepherd sees is there's buttons. They know each one individually. They know what their proclivities are. They know which ones are prone to jump the fence or make their way out. As your under shepherds, it's important that we make every effort to know our flock individually, not just as a group. I personally really enjoy that part of that. We want to be able to recognize you and recognize when you're injured, when you're low, when you're lost or about to stray, or when you're ready to follow another sheep off a 50-foot cliff. You know, just think of all the carnage that could have been avoided with just one attentive shepherd in that case. We want to encourage you. We want to pray with you. Please don't ever be too ashamed or embarrassed to talk to one of us if you're struggling. We don't ever want to be so busy with the business of the church that we don't have time for people who actually are the church. So if you've got something that you want to talk to one of your elders about, one of your under shepherds about, do it. do it. Just contact one of us. Talk to us. Don't think we're too busy because, again, you are the church. You're what we should be busy with. Right. In 3 weeks, we're going to have this gathering at Long Point Park on Kinesis Lake, where we'll be welcoming in some new members. Every year leading up to that, the elders spend some time with each of the candidates. We interview them. For one thing, we like to get to know them better, and we like to meet them on their home turf. But we also want to be sure that the people we're recommending to you to become part of this flock are actually ready for membership, that they actually understand the commitment that they're making to be part of God's flock here at Grace Baptist. That is, that they've repented and believed in Jesus Christ. It's not enough to go through a class. It's not enough to sit through that. It's not enough to mentally affirm the things that you were taught and read. But has the individual repented and believed in Jesus Christ? Do they really understand the gospel? Because we aren't ready or willing to let someone come in that we're not sure about. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account." We shouldn't, and we don't, take that lightly. You know, I don't know what that is going to look like on the last day, that giving account. But my goal, our goal, is to protect this flock from potential predators or agitators, that I can receive the unfading crown of glory, as 1 Peter 5:4 states. Rob Wilson shared the story of a time when his father bought a small flock of sheep that had been allowed to run wild and were troublemakers. When they were introduced to his own flock, they led them into escaping the fold all the time. And it's just as Paul says, bad company ruins good morals. And we want to protect you from that. We really want to protect you from that. What happens when someone in the flock does start causing turmoil? Well, we see most all of God's anger turned toward the bad shepherds in Ezekiel 34. With all of his compassion and his mercy directed to the sheep, we also hear this from the prophet beginning in verse 17 and culminating in these verses in 20 to 22. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust it all the weak with your horns, till you've scattered them abroad, I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep." That brings us to the final point about the under-shepherd's responsibilities, and that is to correct. Those were severe words about the fat sheep abusing, bullying the weak ones. And the problem started because of absentee shepherds. They weren't paying attention to the trouble brewing in the herd, and it resulted in a scattered flock. Now, hearing that, your mind might have gone directly to church discipline. That's understandable, but church discipline is where correction ends, not where it begins. As I talked about a moment ago, we really want to know you. We want to know you personally, individually. Very important part of that knowing is knowing your weak spots, knowing where the gaps in your fences are, so that we can help steer you away from there. Correcting begins in conversations. Maybe we hear an overemphasis on worldly pursuits or jealousy or pride that threatens to draw you away from God. Or perhaps you're going through the dark valley of a trial God is leading you through. We want to gently use the staff of correction to put your thinking back in line with God's will. We're not always successful, though, and that's when it could escalate to the steps of church discipline. We want that to be a rare event, and thankfully it has been. A large part of the reason for that is because you people, this flock, loves each other. You watch out for one another. You correct one another, just as brothers and sisters in the Lord are called to do. In closing, I want us to consider this paradox. While your elders and deacons as well are your under-shepherds, striving to keep you well fed from the word, protecting and correcting as required, we're still sheep. You know from experience and observation that we're prone to the same inconsistencies, the same imperfections as we fulfill this calling. We thank you for your grace and patience with us as we stumble through sometimes. And for your part as the sheep, you also have your own shepherding tasks. Fathers and mothers, you shepherd your children. All of you are shepherds for your extended families, friends, and communities where sheep not yet of this fold are hiding. It's very much a symbiotic relationship, each of us needing the others to best portray Christ's body and bride. I do want to say again, just in closing, how much of an honor it is to serve you, to be an under-shepherd for you. And I don't take it lightly, and none of us take it lightly. But also, we know that we don't do it perfectly. We know that there's room for improvement for each of us in our shepherding responsibilities. We don't have it all down. Yeah, just as you sheep know, there's room for improvement, right? In your sheepness. But here's the one thing, right, that the sheep and the under shepherds can rely on, and that is that we have a good shepherd that we can go to. A good shepherd who knows us better than I can ever know you. He knows us. He knows you. He's there for you. He has compassion. That's the wonderful thing about that passage in Ezekiel 34 is that he's angry with the shepherds. He has such compassion on the sheep. He just loves his sheep. He just loves you. No explanation. Some of us are not all that lovable. Right? Ain't naming names. No, but seriously, you know, we all have those unlovable times, but Jesus loves us. Jesus has compassion on us. Jesus wept over Jerusalem because they were sheep without a shepherd.